I'm gonna try and keep myself on time, but it's nice to have a reminder.
It's nice for me to have a reminder too.
All right. As Tommy said, I'm Bobby Harden. I'm with the Gin Lab in Stoneville. And we worked on trying to find a system to measure mass flow rate for seed cotton by measuring a pressure drop. That's across the blow box, you know, under a steady flow or stick machine. So first question, why do we care? Well, we did have some generals come to our lab and tell us that they care about this. So something they're interested in, so of course we want to work on it. But we know our ginning rate, but one thing is that the seed cotton movement through the gin isn't uniform. We'd like to think it is. Our feed controls tend to throw out large clumps of seed cotton, and we get some, you know, pauses in the feed. So we can provide feedback on gin performance to the gin operator. You know, how well is our split, if we have a split stream seed cotton cleaners? How much are we loading our seed cotton cleaners? We have a lot of gins that are really pushing what we thought were the limits of those machines. How well do our feed controls work? Or could we do something to operate them better and provide a more smooth feed of seed cotton into our gin? And a lot of gins are interested in what the turnout is. And of course, if we could measure seed cotton mass flow, we'd have a more instantaneous measure of that. And it might give them some, you know, insight if they have a problem, say a cylinder cleaner with some bent grit bars where they're losing cotton, or, you know, a stick machine with some torn up saws. And we'd like to use this and improve process control. This is an input that really for most process control systems we think we'll need. So what's been done on this before? A lot of work's been done with harvesters. A lot of the work with John Wilkerson and then Alex Thompson and Sweet. Looking at optical systems, tested most of these on harvesters. They've shown pretty good accuracy. There are some issues that have been discussed that are known with on harvesters, the fact that they have to be calibrated, you know, different fields, different varieties, because they're basically bowl counters, or they're counting clumps of seed cotton. They're not actually detecting a mass, but just when the beam is blocked. So we've also used some pressure-based systems. Paul Funk and some coworkers and some work at LSU looking at differential static pressure or the total static pressure in a duct. You expect to see a relationship, and they showed this. But one issue with this measurement is usually it's a small variation in pressure, talking a tenth, two-tenths of an inch of water. And that can be measured, but it's hard to do it accurately. And if we're looking at small differences in that, then it becomes a more expensive proposition. Well, one thing in the gin, we're feeding cotton into moving air streams. And so this gives us a place where we can measure that. As the seed cotton's accelerated, it requires energy. You lose energy, and that shows up as a drop in pressure across your blow box. If you measure the static pressure at one end and the other, you're going to see a pretty significant difference. And one thing we find is that this is something that's usually a good bit larger than the differential pressure if we're using a system based on just friction, or like Paul Funk did with the vertical lift. So we can take this differential pressure measurement, but there's two things here. One is this acceleration, but even if you don't have seed cotton, you're still going to have a pressure drop just due to the friction of the air. So this is kind of the model, the first term there. Let's see if I can get the pointer working. That is based on the pressure drop due to the acceleration. That's friction due to air. I'm not going to go through this too much. Don't want to bore everybody. Graphically depicted, this is what you see. As we start conveying cotton, or as we start our fans here, we see a pressure drop that's around 250 pascals, 1 inch of water. And then when we start feeding in seed cotton, we clearly see when that happens, and we go up to the averages around 650, 700 pascals, which is, you know, that's 2.5 inches or so of water. Now, for this original model we did, we had to make some assumptions. One is that the velocity of the seed cotton reaches at the end of the blow box is going to be a constant proportion of the inlet air velocity. There's a couple of things here. The seed cotton never is the same velocity as the air. Due to drag forces, it's always less than the air velocity. And we can't really easily measure it. We're going to try and measure that in some research we're planning to do, but it's not something that you could really practically do in a gin. Also, the other big assumption that we made was that the air leakage at the seed cotton feed control was proportional to the airflow we measured. We measured the air going into the inlet before we add the seed cotton, because it's pretty hard to measure air velocity once there's seed cotton. You can choke up and bend pitot tubes pretty easily. So this is the equation we get, and basically, to solve for mass flow rate, we just have these two coefficients in our regression model here. Makes it pretty simple to solve it. So in our previous testing, we did it on a small scale system. Had reasonable accuracy. We were using rather low cost sensors, as in less than $100 each. And some other things we were doing with the testing probably affected that error. But we thought it was a good start and it was something we should pursue further. Cultivar didn't affect it, moisture content had no effect. Fan speed didn't really have an effect either. So we tested in the commercial scale gen in our lab, and we did a lot worse. But the issue we found here goes back to the air leakage. We'll talk more about that in a second. Again, cultivar didn't have an effect, but everything else we tested did. So this is our suspected source of the air, was that air leakage at the blow box. And again, we can't measure it, the air velocity, once we introduce the seed cotton, so we don't know exactly how much is leaking in. We have to come up with some way to estimate that. And this is a particularly bad assumption in our commercial scale gen. To change the velocity, we're adjusting a slide valve that's pretty close to the blow box. We changed the static pressure significantly. It's also a push-pull system. I think in a lot of commercial gens, you wouldn't have to do this because there's a burner, pretty short distance of pipe before the inlet on your blow box. So it's a pretty low static pressure there, not much leakage. But because, you know, we want, kind of want to prepare for a worst case scenario, we're going to figure out how to do this. So we figure we can estimate this. And there's some published equations for this. Now, caution, I didn't put any here because they're very complicated and would take up my whole slide. Nobody wants to see that. They were also developed usually with high positive pressure systems. These are, we're talking pressures, PSI pressures here, 15, 20 PSI, which is when they're conveying powders in these chemical processing plants. They also try and apply them to any rotary valve or vacuum dropper, as we usually refer to them. And we're not really that worried with doing it since we're calibrating this model anyway. We're not going to change out our vacuum droppers very often. But they're consistently proportional to two things: the pressure difference across the dropper, and also they're inversely proportional to the density of the higher pressure air. So if you have a positive pressure system where the air is leaking out, it's pressuring your pipe, a negative pressure system where it's leaking in, it's the ambient air pressure. So here's the equation we use. So that volumetric air flow rate proportional to the static pressure, and this is the pressure difference. We actually did some tests, found that really there's pressure above the droppers pretty close to atmospheric, so we didn't take that into consideration, and the air density of high pressure air. So we get this equation here when we substitute that in. And this looks complicated, but one thing, if you look, if your static pressure is zero, or you take out that B3 coefficient there, it goes back to the original equation, which is what we want. So just thought I should put that. If you really want the details, they'll be in the paper. So we want to test the effects of those same variables that we tested in the previous experiment: feed rate, air velocity, cultivar, dryer temperature on this improved system, see how well it worked, see what else we might need to change, and try it out in a commercial gen as well. So this is our system, and I've left out a lot of different directional valves that we have just for simplicity. But we see taking a velocity measurement there. It's a push-pull system, so we're taking the measurement before that fan. And that's the slide valve we use to vary the velocity, our air velocity. This is where we make our differential pressure measurement across the blow box. And we took two temperature measurements. One is to get the air density at our pitot tube to calculate the air velocity accurately. And I put one after the fan. Usually find, you know, some compression of the air from the fan. We see a temperature change there. It's usually not large. For the improved model, we're also measuring static pressure. We just tee into the pressure tap that's on the inlet side of the blow box and take that measurement as well. So all this requires in this improved model, the only additional measurement is that static pressure measurement. So it only requires one extra sensor. You know, there's really not any little plumbing. So this is installed on the first and second stage drying. Our average test slot size was 186 pounds. We varied them from 150 to 225 pounds randomly. Moisture content samples were collected before processing after the first cylinder cleaner. We also collected the foreign matter from that cylinder cleaner and stick machine and weighed it. We did this so we could estimate the weight of seed cotton entering the second stage drying system. And then to actually, you know, to get the mass, we have to integrate that model over the length of the test. There's no reference or standard way to measure mass flow rate now, so we're actually integrating this to get mass, and then do a regression analysis to identify the coefficients and look at the accuracy of it. Our testing, you know, three replications, two air velocities, cultivars, two dryer temperatures, two feed rates. So we did a lot better this year, this last experiment. The first stage prediction error was just over 5%. The second stage prediction error, and this is mean absolute prediction error, so we take our error for one test run and take the absolute value and average out. It should average out to zero if you didn't do the absolute value. So that's what that means. Second stage, 2.5%. Again, cultivar, no effect. Now, the dryer temperature did affect the regression coefficients for the first stage, velocity and feed rate for both stages, and this is using a statistical method to identify differences. However, the regression coefficients are correlated, and so that's partially why. And the question is, are they really important, the differences? And I think they are for the dryer temperature on the first stage and also the feed rate. That's a smaller difference, but I'll show you graphically what's important here. So this is dryer temperature. With the lower dryer temperature, which is about 130 degrees Fahrenheit, it's basically with our pilot on, and then the high is about 200 Fahrenheit. That's different. I don't think you need statistics to tell you that. So we have some issues there. That's not something we'd want in a commercial system. With the feed rate, I said that's a smaller difference. I think you can tell at the low feed rate, we're still over-predicting a little bit. The high feed rate, it's under-predicting, although there's a bit of scatter there, so it's definitely a smaller difference. As I said, even though the statistical model said that there's a difference with velocity, if I put that up, you wouldn't be able to tell. It doesn't pass the high test. And I'll show you some numbers here that show, the air velocity, the mean residuals, they're basically the same. Dryer temperature, that's a difference, and then the feed rate, as I said. And comparing this to the previous work, you can see we've improved a lot. That's in parentheses there. You know, we had really significant differences between our treatments and the original model. And so we've gotten a lot better, but we still have some work to do. Why? Well, I think it's because the temperature we're measuring at the inlet of the blow box is not what's actually in the blow box. We've accounted for air leakage, but not some rapid heat exchange between the seed cotton and air, and I think it does occur pretty rapidly. And so at the second stage, you wouldn't expect much air because the seed cotton's already heated up. And there's a simple solution, which makes me wonder why I didn't do this before, but you know, that's how it goes. So we also tested a commercial gin, and I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to kind of show you the data. One thing we did have to do, they don't measure the weigh their seed cotton here, so we just use bale weights, estimated turnout. If the turnout's different, then it just scales a parameter. Doesn't really affect the accuracy. And we had to do a two-step regression because when we're collecting a whole day's worth of data, those data points out there tend to bias the results at zero. So, and we use this in a system we're working on with Carlos Amijo to predict seed cotton moisture. Just shows a pretty good relationship there. Actually, those errors you see, those could be solely due to turnout differences, but we don't know because they don't weigh seed cotton. We tested in a gin this year that is weighing modules, so we're analyzing that data and hope to learn a little more. So I think the model improved significantly. We want to measure the actual temperature in the blow box, do some testing on that, like I said, we have some analysis and some additional testing we want to conduct, you know, mostly in commercial gyms. That, thank Cotton Incorporated for funding this. Our staff, Debbie Boykin, our statistician, helped with this. The cooperating gyms, Midnight Gym and Silver Creek, where we've done some work with this. And I don't think I have time for questions, so I'll leave that up to the moderator. But
any quick questions? I guess not. Thank you, Bobby.